Good morning. Our text today is taken from the Ten Commandments, which we read earlier. We will be studying the fifth commandment, and I will read it to you now as we did earlier. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's a delight to be back here this year. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I appreciate that Todd is preaching for me this morning at Grace Presbyterian in Starkville. I ran by Grace on the way here and saw a deacon. And he said that with me being gone this morning that they would get a reprieve. And I said, I hope Todd preaches the most convicting sermon this morning. So I'm sorry my wife Sydney is not here with me. Our youngest daughter Sarah flew out of Atlanta last night to be part of a mission to the world internship in Cambodia this summer. And so Sydney will be returning from Atlanta today, but the flight left late, so my wife stayed in Atlanta last night. Well, it is Father's Day, and many of you are fathers. All of us have or have had a father. And thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, God is our Heavenly Father. And I thought that preaching on the fifth commandment, honoring father and mother, would be special and appropriate for today. And so that's what we will be looking at. Now, what's interesting is as you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four have a particularly vertical relationship. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Observe the Sabbath. Those first four commandments are especially vertical, going towards God. But then the remaining six commandments are on a horizontal plane. Certainly we live them out before God, but it's how we treat one another as human beings. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal, and so forth. And it's interesting that in the Lord's providence, when he switched from those vertical commands to those horizontal commands, the very first one is the relationship of a child to his parents, the building block of society. And perhaps God gave the fifth commandment because he knew how easy it would be for us to develop a disrespectful attitude toward our parents. As children born into this world, we are basically selfish and want everything our way. As teenagers, we may think our parents are hopelessly ignorant and behind the times. As young adults, it's easy to be consumed with responsibilities of marriage and of work. And as middle-aged adults, we may view the needs of our aged parents as undesirable burdens on our hard-earned freedom. But God's commandment here tells us that if we want to have a right relationship with him, we need to have a right relationship with our parents. We need to honor them, however old we are. So the way we will approach this morning is the following. We will look briefly at the command in general, and then we'll look at what it means to honor your father and mother when you are a child, when you are an adult, and when your parents are old. And then we will look at the accompanying promise in the second half of the verse. But first, the command, honor your father and mother. What does this mean? Well, it means to respect, to show dignity toward, to esteem. Leviticus 19:3 says, each of you must respect his mother and father. So we're called to honor our parents by showing them dignity, by showing them respect, by showing them esteem. And one thing that excites me about this command is that what we are being asked to do is something that goes on within the Godhead. You know, there's one God that exists in the form of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what God commanded us to do is carried out by Jesus toward his Father, our Heavenly Father. In John chapter 8, the Jews said to Jesus, "Aren't you a Samaritan? Aren't you demon-possessed?" And Jesus answered, "I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father." And Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 31, "The world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." So I think it's safe to say that when we are showing honor to our parents in this life, we are, as creatures made in the image of God, in some way imaging God himself, just as Jesus honors his Heavenly Father. Now, let us consider how we honor our parents at different stages of life. First, honoring your father and mother when you are a child. What does it mean to honor your parents when you are a child? Well, particularly it means to obey. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, we read this, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Notice there, it doesn't just please the parents, although it probably does, but it pleases the Lord. And further, godly obedience towards parents is not mere outward expression, not mere outward acquiescence to the commands of the parents, to the desire of the parents. But when God asks us to obey our parents when we are children, we are to do it with a spirit of graciousness and with cooperation. We have some friends in North Carolina who have a son that when he was very young got in trouble, and the parents told him to go in his room and to sit down. Well, he went in his room, but he didn't want to sit down. And so the parents made him sit down, and he said, "I may be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside." Okay. Rebellion comes easy, doesn't it? Parents should be concerned not just that their children comply, but also the attitude with which they perform the task. If our children in their hearts are spurning us, hating us, rebelling against us, this is a very dangerous situation. So while it's a high goal, we must keep it as a goal that children obey their parents, not only outwardly, but that they have a cooperative spirit as well. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, the whole church is told, do everything without complaining or arguing. And this certainly applies to children as well. So parents, seeing that your children are obedient is not optional. You've got to make that happen, because their obedience and respect towards you leads them to respect others and to show obedience to proper authorities. And the ultimate goal is that their hearts would be compliant to their Heavenly Father and to His Christ, and that they have willing hearts towards them. Okay, secondly, let's consider what it means to honor your father and mother when you are an adult. People of all ages are commanded to honor their parents. Not just children, but adults are to show honor and respect to their parents. There's a verse that I think is powerful in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Maybe we've lost some of this in our culture, but listen to this. Rise in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am Yahweh. Now, that being said, I think it's safe to say that blanket obedience drops from the list of requirements when one becomes an adult. Blanket obedience to one's parents when one becomes an adult. We don't find any place in Scripture where adults are told, obey your parents. Nevertheless, Scripture has a high view and holds us to a high view of our parents' instruction, even as we are adults. The instruction a parent has to give is to be remembered and to be employed for life and blessing, and we honor our parents in this way. Proverbs 1:8 says this, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." Even as a young man grows, he is to remember, or a young lady, he or she is to remember the advice of his or her parents. And it means being willing to change upon their advice. The instruction includes the instruction they gave us when we were wee children, and the instruction may be that which is given in present real time. These things help preserve our lives. The Bible assumes that older people are worth listening to. The Bible assumes that the elderly are wise. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older." The Bible assumes that the older are worth listening to. The Bible assumes the elderly are wise, and when they're not, it's pathetic cases. So listening courteously to our parents' opinions is a way that we can honor them. But secondly, honoring our parents in our adulthood means living in such a way as to be a blessing to our parents. Proverbs 10:1 says this, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother." Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25 say, "The father of a righteous man has great joy, but he who has a wise son," "the father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." We should live in a way such that it brings joy to our parents, that they're able to rejoice. That's one way we can honor them. Now, that being said, there are times when one, as an adult, cannot honor the wishes of his or her parents. And this is especially true if the parents desired that their grown child should do or believe something that's contrary to Scripture. And Christ described that this kind of thing would happen. He said in Matthew chapter 10, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." If you have parents that want you to do something, to believe something, or to profess something that's contrary to Scripture, the preeminence of Christ must prevail. The love of Christ must win over love of parents. Now, hopefully, you're not in the place where the desires of your parents and the desires of Christ compete with one another. But if so, you must follow Christ, for he says, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Now, let me say this too, and I venture into this cautiously. There may be a time when there is a need to correct your parents. Again, I'm talking about adult children bringing correction to their parents. I hope it's few and far between, and I hope you think about it once, twice, three times, lady, before you do it, right? But if it is necessary, Scripture gives us instruction as to how we should approach our parents. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1, we have this instruction. Now, it's dealing with another matter, but it still informs us how to correct our parents. Paul tells Timothy, Timothy was a young man at the time, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat older women as mothers." So this passage informs us how we would speak to our parents in such a situation. If we ever come to the point of needing to correct our parents, it should not include harsh rebuke, but it should include humble exhortation, humble entreaty, and encouragement born out of respect and love. Another way we can honor our parents as adult children is to communicate to them our love for them, to affirm them. Think about what our parents have done for us. Our mothers endured pregnancy, perhaps sickness in pregnancy, the pain and perhaps fear of labor. Our parents took care of us. They cleaned us. They raised us. There was hard work in order to provide for us. Parents discuss children probably more than any other subject. And so it is right for us to communicate our love, to affirm our love for our parents on a regular basis. In simple words of appreciation, "Thanks for the great meal," mean a lot. And one of the quickest ways to crush a parent's spirit is to fail to show appreciation, but to take and to take and to take without ever showing gratitude. My middle daughter is an upcoming senior in college. And before she left for college, she gave a picture to me, a framed picture. And in the center of the picture is a collage of photographs of her and me together. And then on the mat around the photographs, she wrote just the loveliest words to me as a father, and quoted a number of scripture verses. And if you came up to me after the sermon today and said, "Hey, Bill, I'll give you $5,000 for that picture that your daughter Cece gave you," I would say, "No way." Now, my daughter's very practical. She's in business school. She'd say, "Dad, take the 5K and I'll make another one." But I wouldn't even do that. I would want the original, where what was in her heart was being poured out at the time of the writing. Okay, now, let's talk about honoring our parents when they are old. And honestly, I wish my sister could speak to you on this. I had a father who had Alzheimer's for 12 years before he died. My mother has Alzheimer's now. And my sister lives in town with them in Macon, Georgia, and she has done a tremendous job. My brother and I both, who live in different places, help some, but she's the one who could really speak to this. But honoring our parents when they're old remains fulfilling our responsibility to them, to comfort them, and to help them. To help them medically if needed, to help them financially if needed. Think about the cycle of a family. A baby is totally dependent on his parents. And then there's increasing independence. The child leaves home and he's followed God's ordained path to maturity. Meanwhile, the parents have gone from the vitality of young adulthood to middle age to the vulnerability of the aged. And in that final state of vulnerability, they become dependent on the children they have raised. We should properly take care of our parents' basic needs when they cannot. This is a way of honoring our parents. In 1 Timothy 5, Paul writes this: "Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God." Again, it may be pleasing to the parents or to the grandparents, but again, this is pleasing to God. The first line of provision in meeting the needs of the aged are the children and grandchildren. And it is pleasing to God when children honor their parents. Consider that in Mark chapter 7, Jesus sharply rebukes the religious leaders who have figured out a scheme so that the funds children would use to help their parents could be dedicated to the temple's use instead. Jesus said to them in verse 9 of Mark chapter 7, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban,' that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down." But perhaps the most striking example from Jesus was in his greatest hour of need, when he was hanging on the cross. And if I remember correctly, there were seven things that we have recorded that he said while he was on the cross. But one of them was this. From the cross, we have this account. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his house. We have no record of Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, living beyond Jesus' childhood. And here in his death, he senses his responsibility for his mother's care. And among the last words he gives is an instruction so that her needs would be met. We must make sure that our parents' needs are met. We must make sure our parents have food, housing, clothes, medical care, and every other basic necessity of life. And we can further support our parents by helping with the mundane household responsibilities: fixing the fence, mowing the lawn, make sure the car is in good working order, handling legal responsibilities, endless legal papers which must be filled out. We can invite our parents on vacations with us. We can visit them. We can bless them by taking grandchildren over to visit with them. And they would likely say, "You can doubly bless us by taking them home with you when you go." Now, I'd like to consider the rationale that's given in this fifth commandment as to why we should honor our parents. And God says that our days may be prolonged in the land that he is giving them. Now, here, as the Lord gives the commandments, the people have been recently rescued from 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and the Lord is taking them to Canaan, to the promised land. And there is an overall promise of prosperity for obedience to God. When they come to the promised land, they need to be obedient in every area of life. And he told them if they didn't continue in obedience, their time, their days there would be shortened. But here, a long life in that good land is promised, particularly to obedient children who obey their parents. And lest you think this commandment is relegated only to the Old Testament, we read Paul's take on this verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, where he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth." The promise that was made to the Hebrews in the Old Testament is extended to God's children in all times and all parts of the world. Now, you and I know those sad examples where the lives of sweet, obedient children were cut short. We have a dear lady in our church in Starkville, Edna Joy Prysock, and her year-and-a-half-year-old grandson just a few weeks ago, it seems, fell off a bed and was injured so severely he died. Those are sad examples. It's a small percentage, but it happens. But even there, the Scripture gives us hope. For it is not unfair to the Scripture to move from the literal promised land of this world to the ultimate promised land, the eternal promised land, to which the earlier earthly promised land points. Whether children live long or not in this world, it shall go well with them who love the Lord and honor their parents in this world, and it shall go even better for them in the world to come. Let me return briefly to the subject of parents' responsibility to instill in your children respect and honor for you. Do you see how important this is, as brought out by this second half of the verse we are studying today? The goal in your child giving honor to you is not merely to make your life more pleasant and easier. The goal is the salvation of the child's soul. Now, we know that Jesus is the only one who can save. But God commands, honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged. And children who curse their parents, children who do not honor their parents, children who do not obey their parents are setting themselves up for God's judgment. And so raising your children to honor you is not a selfish task. Rather, you are being mindful of the spiritual and eternal welfare of your children. Proverbs 30:17 says this, "The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures." And listen to this list of sins found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of which is disobedience to parents. And listen to the context in which you find disobedient to parents. "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Peoples will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them." Do you see? Disobedience to parents is in the same context of brutality and treachery. So how big a deal is it if I don't raise my children to show respect and to honor and to obey? It's a very big deal. The family is the place where respect or disrespect is learned for authority. And how a child learns about authority in the home will guide how he or she relates to teachers, to coaches, to employers, to government officials, and ultimately to God. Psalm 34:11 says this, "Come, my children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." And one of the best ways we can teach our children reverence for the Lord is raising them such that they honor their parents. Well, in conclusion, where we have failed, there is forgiveness. There is the offer of forgiveness for where we have failed to honor our parents. It's certain that each of us has done things or failed to do things or thought things regarding our parents for which we are in need of forgiveness and mercy. And perhaps there are some here today who need to repent of recent dishonorable words or actions or thoughts. There is a balm in Gilead. The Lord Jesus Christ came for sinners. There is also forgiveness for where we have failed in raising our children to honor us as parents. There is a balm in Gilead. The Lord Jesus came to free sinners. The Lord forgives those who confess and repent. The Lord died on the cross for these sins as well. And it's a beautiful thing to realize this. You know, Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly, and the reward of his perfect obedience is given to us. One of the commands that he fulfilled perfectly was honoring his Father. And Jesus' perfect obedience of honoring his Father, as we put our trust in him, the reward of his perfect obedience is awarded to us. And Jesus himself, from his obedience, will live long in the land. Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, describes this. It says, "Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand." So, dear friends, on this Father's Day, let us be grateful for the fathers the Lord has given us. Let us raise our children to honor us as fathers and mothers. And let us have an abiding joy that through Christ we have for all time, in this life and in the next, a heavenly Father. I'll lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, how privileged we are to be able to call you Father, to address you as Father. And it's not in title only, it is the truth. We thank you that Christ is our elder brother. We thank you that he fulfilled perfectly the command to honor you. And Father, where we have failed to honor our earthly parents, where we have failed to raise our children to honor their parents, where we have failed to honor you as our heavenly Father, we confess and we ask humbly through faith in Christ that you'd remove our sins as far as the east is from the west, and that you would appropriate unto us the righteousness of Christ in all these areas. We thank you that Your loving kindness is new every morning. Praise be to God. And Father, we do this day thank you for our fathers, that in your providence that they were used by you in your creation of us. We thank you for the sacrifices that they and our mothers made through the years. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.